Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hail cheaters, welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. It's Labor Day here in the United States. We're coming to you one day late. I was at Legoland. Brandon, you were celebrating your birthday. Let me be the first to say, Brandon, how are you and happy birthday?
Yeah, as I was telling our friend Gavin Doyle on Twitter, I'm 1 year closer to cashing in that tontine I started with the flying hellfish. So getting older is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a good thing. I'm wiser. Mm-hmm. And am I wiser in FPL? I think so, a little bit.
Yeah. Well, it was your 24th birthday, and so I'm glad you were able to get out there and have some fun, mix it up a little bit. We started this podcast, I think, when you were 16 years old, so it's nice. Yeah. Your voice has been exactly this deep the entire time.
There is a law in the United States. I mean, this is why we've considered taking this podcast to foreign lands, because you must be 16 in the U.S. to start your own podcast. That's a federal communications commission law that's now in place.
I think we're going to start recording in international waters soon enough. I think we may have to.
For my birthday, though, Josh, I was telling you, my wife took me to a proper sushi omakase, and I want this episode to be FPL omakase. Like, pull up to the bar. Mm-hmm. Josh and I are going to slice up some raw FPL takes for you, and they're going to go down buttery smooth. You're going to be nourished and ready for game week 4.
So game week 4 kicks off this upcoming Saturday. And speaking of takes, that's kind of the theme of this week's pod, which is we're opening up the mailbag, Brandon. It's kind of perfect for international break, I think. We did last week's pod where we basically caught you up on everything that's happened in the Premier League for the first 3 weeks. We talked a lot about wild cards and a lot about Ronaldo. So, you know, we're going to talk about Ronaldo some more. There's kind of no avoiding it, but I've put it in a special Ronaldo box that we can sort of cover and then move on to other topics. Because there's a lot of things, like, for example, Brendan, the Champions League kicks off a week from tomorrow. Uh-huh. No one has talked about that at all. And this might have some pretty serious implications for fantasy. So we're going to talk about...
Are we going to have a Ronaldo breakout session in this podcast?
We're going to do breakout rooms. Exactly. So whoever wants to do that can go join that breakout room and talk there. From now on, we're going to do every pod on Zoom, Brandon, so that everybody can join. They can participate what they want to. Basically we're going to answer a bunch of different questions. Look at game week 4. Look at players that you might want to have in a wild card. Talk about what's changed over the last week, because a lot actually has, more than I was expecting. Of course, we thought there'd be some craziness, but I would say this is one of the more unusual international breaks that I can remember. Really capped off with, there's actually 3 days left to go too, but yesterday was really it was a farce, wasn't it?
Argentina and Brazil really took the cake. They win the prize for wildest moment of the break so far. We also had to talk a little bit about Lukaku's thighs and there was scans a match, that are happening there.
There was also a match that was canceled because of a coup d'etat. So I think that one That one has to go up there as well.
coups, COVID, and what's the third C? We'll come up with it at some point during this pod.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be the theme of this week's pod. Find that third C to finish that alliteration. So it's mailbag time. We're going to jump right into it without too much preambles here. The one thing I did want to do, though, is I wanted to shout out the Always Cheating Super League. Because we have not somehow, I think just because we're out of form at the start of the season, we have not been shouting out the top 10 of the OSG and Super League. So I just want to quickly do that, partially because the people at the top of the OSG and Super League are doing unusually well, Brandon. It's pretty cool. The number one manager, I'll just do this in reverse order this time, which we would normally do, is Ryan Quinn, who is ranked sixth overall.
Astounding, really is.
Pretty remarkable.
British manager, let's see. Let's look at Ryan's history in playing the game. His highest finish after playing since 2013 is 76K overall in the 2016 season. So to be sixth overall in the world right now has got to be a pretty good feeling.
I think so, too. This is like there's been some talk about like, oh, believe me, if anybody listening to this podcast was ever as high as sixth overall, like that's like I would like get that. I don't even know, like printed and framed on my wall, my rank.
Like the New York Times bestseller list, basically.
Yeah, here Josh Landon, game week three, ranked sixth overall. So congrats to Ryan. And I'm just going to read off the rest of the top 10 here too, Brandon. I'll do it. This time I'm just going to go one to nine.
Okay.
Four-way tie for ninth. In first is Ryan Quinn. In second, Kevin Douglas. In third, Stephen Onchiri. In fourth, Sean McGarry. In fifth, Mustafa Ghali. Or Jolly, perhaps. In sixth is Mohamed Diz. In seventh is Desmond Brady. And also in seventh is Tor Buksap. And then we have this four-way tie for ninth, which is Rishi Kumar, Stefan Larsson, Nathan Carr, and Aaron Georgeson. So congrats to everybody in the Always Cheating Top 10. And a reminder, the winner of that league is going to get £1,000 courtesy of our friends at Fantasy Football Hub. So if you have not joined Fantasy Football Hub yet, you better go on and do so ASAP. Talk more about them later.
But Josh, that's not the only league around. We also have the Patreon league for our Patreon supporters. And at the end of game week three, we celebrated our first ever Dean's List Manager of the Month for our patrons. This is just a quick reminder. If you want to support the Always Cheating Pod, what Josh and I do week in, week out, and get some more FPL content in return, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, where you can join that league, become eligible for our Manager of the Month awards, where you can get a custom Always Cheating t-shirt, access to our Slack chat, of course, an extra podcast every week that's hitting usually Thursday night, Friday morning, very close to the game week deadline, where you can review newsletters courtesy of Mini League Mates, so much other fun stuff.
Yep.
So please do go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to check that out. Josh, thanks. Thank you to our new Patreon supporters.
I will say thank you. Thank you for the suggestion, and I will take you up on that offer. We have a number of new Patreon supporters this week. Thank you to Grudal, Glenn Levy. Glenn sent us a very nice note, too. Nice to meet you, Glenn. Pat, nice to meet everybody, of course. Patrick, Fientan Ferris, Dave Ling, Jed Shearer, and Ryan Quinn. Wow, Brandon, hit the top 10 overall and support us on Patreon. I like that as a deal that we've struck tacitly with our listeners. So thank you again. And by the way, if you've gotten one of these Always Cheating t-shirts, please take a photo of it. I want to see it out in the wild. We've sent out about 75 of these so far.
Yeah.
So let's see some Always Cheating t-shirts out there in the wild. You can actually go and get those at the Always Cheating shop too if you want to just buy them as a one-off. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break. That was a very short intro, very short by our standards. Take a break and get right into that mailbag. All right, Brian, we're back. Today's topic is an FPL mailbag, your FPL fantasy questions answered. I'll start things off here, Brandon, with a nice, this is like a T-ball, right? I'm going to put this one right in a T for you.
Okay.
This comes from Ian, and he says, you are tasked with making a movie about this international break. What genre of film do you make? What stories do you tell? Who plays a lead role?
Yeah. Who does play a lead role? I was thinking about this before we started, and I thought sometimes the best books and movies, you actually have to tell the story from the perspective of maybe one of the lesser interesting characters, sure. like yeah. Nick Carraway in sure. The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
You're not telling the story from Jay Gatsby's point of view. No, it's Nick Carraway.
Yep.
Who is the Nick Carraway of this international break?
Yep.
And I think it might be Emmy Martinez. As he stands in goal yes. and he watches the Brazilian health officials storm the pitch. And, you know, because we're Americans, Josh, and you know, Hollywood is here. Mm-hmm. I can't resist Americanizing this Argentinian story. And I want John Bernthal from Walking Dead, The Punisher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got like a Emmy Martinez flavor, I think. So that's my pitch.
You know what? I shouldn't be critical. This is blue sky, Brandon. We're just throwing things out there.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I think it has a little more Monty Python to it. You know, that's the sort of the vibe I'm getting. A lot of absurdities.
So John Cleese plays Emmy Martinez. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. I think John Cleese is a better Emmy Martinez. And he's tall too. You know, so I think it makes some sense there. Just a really weird one. And I don't want to talk too much about Ronaldo, but I think honestly the biggest piece of news, which was not, it was sort of frustrating because we did this pod last week where we talked a lot about wildcarding, and I have still not wildcarded, nor have you, I don't believe, right?
No.
Yep. So one of the rationales that I had was basically.
I love how you said that. Like we haven't really talked about this. You wouldn't.
Well, it's possible. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know about you. You come up with very strong opinions, and then you like do a 180 like 3 days
sure.
later. So
yep.
yeah.
Yep. I'm two-faced.
Yeah. just sometimes, not usually. But I, we sort of, one of the rationales for not wildcarding was Ronaldo is going for this international goal record. They have World Cup qualifiers, these really important matches. The second World Cup qualifier is on Wednesday. He hasn't even rejoined the team yet. There's a chance he's going to have to quarantine. And therefore, Bruno is probably the safer pick. What ends up happening is Ronaldo breaks the goal scoring record on the first match.
No problem.
Yep. And then gets a yellow card at the end of that match after he scores a second goal to really solidify that goal record. Kingsman gets chalked off later, and so because of that, he's going to have to miss the second World Cup qualifier the following week. If he's going to miss that, why stay around for the friendly over the weekend? So he kind of immediately goes back to the UK, does have to do some kind of quarantine, but it looks like he's going to rejoin at the very least maybe a day before everybody else joins. So he's going to actually have a little extra time. And to make things even more annoying, Bruno now probably ends up having to play a lot more minutes than he would have had otherwise. He came on as a sub late on the weekend. He did score a penalty goal. Something like the last penalty he's ever going to score for anybody. came on late, and then presumably he's going to play like the full 90 minutes for Portugal's World Cup qualifier in a couple of days. So now we're just in a really tricky spot where suddenly Ronaldo does kind of feel like the better option. So I guess I have to just move right into the Ronaldo section here, Brandon. I've only pulled out two questions because if you want 30 minutes of Ronaldo talk, again, I refer you to last week. I refer to you all fantasy commentary everywhere in the world. Okay. I'm not like, there's just so much out there right now. So much Ronaldo commentary. I don't want to add too much to it.
We are the only podcast who dubbed him the points goblin. Though, Josh,
that's true. And he's a selfish points goblin.
I feel like that one's going to pick up steam as the season
goes. It should. I know. I saw it a couple. I started to make a little headway. We're not full on bus team level of headway, but let's give it some time. So two questions here, Brandon. I'm going to take them both together.
Yeah.
Boston Prof says, are we getting too carried away by all the Ronaldo hype? He's human, right? There are great forwards returning down $8 million. Shouldn't we just wait and see how he does? And then Dave says, if you own both Ronaldo and Lukaku, which one would you captain in game week 4? So mm-hmm. taking the Boston Prof question first, are we getting too carried away by the Ronaldo hype?
Well, Boston Prof sort of gives it away here when he says he's human, right? And right. I mean, yeah, by science, he is humanoid. But right. I think in footballing terms, that's the whole thing, is he's not human. He's a bit inhuman. And I think fantasy managers and football fans generally can get into trouble and basically saying, Ronaldo is above the law, which he shouldn't be, but also his ability to score goals is he now holds the record in international matches. So it's unrivaled at this point. So I don't think that the hype is at all unjustified. And I don't think that really needs to be stressed more than I have there. The only question for me really does get to Dave's follow-up question of, if you owned Ronaldo and Lukaku, who would you captain? Because I do put some faith in the argument that we have some mid-price strikers who are really showing consistency, from Calvert-Lewin to Antonio notably. And but one thing we come back to with, talking about why is a player like Mo Salah or Bruno Fernandes a must going into game week 1? Well, it's because of their consistency, and you're trying to battle the odds in a game like fantasy, and you want to have players in your team who just have better odds, frankly, who are going to have more opportunities than other players to get more points. And I think it's very clear that Ronaldo, he is the one who will be getting all of the opportunities. Now, he'll be demanding those opportunities, which will help. But this is just how the fantasy game is played. You want those players, regardless of how much they cost, who are going to get the most opportunities to score. So by that logic, Ronaldo, even though we haven't seen him play a minute in the Premier League in like a decade, still probably has better odds than the likes of Antonio and DCL to get FPL points in the coming weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with you there. I mean, I think that a lot of the arguments against Ronaldo are real life arguments and not fantasy arguments, right? Like it's a little bit like Mo Salah, where Mo Salah is an undroppable fantasy asset. It kind of has been for 3.5 seasons now, right? Like however long he's been in the Premier League now, I think this is his fourth season, where you just sort of, you can't go without it, because even when he has a terrible match, he picks up fantasy points. He could do nothing for 87 minutes and score a pen. And so, you know, Ronaldo is kind of the same way, where he's just going to be on, I mean, like you said, he's a robot, and that's just going to lead to really consistent fantasy returns, I think.
Yeah, this is our prediction. It seems based in a reality that we all live in, but I see people in the fantasy community who just, they're resistant to the hype, and they're resistant to this idea that there's really only one path forward, and that's having Ronaldo. And you know, I do fear coming out of another episode of Always Cheating where we just say, you have to have this guy. Like, I do believe there are other ways to set up your team going into game week 4 that don't involve Ronaldo.
I think there's a good chance neither of us have him
going into game week 4. And the way I'm looking at my squad right now is I will have Lukaku over Ronaldo, and we can talk more about that in a moment. But I just think what we're getting at here with the Ronaldo talk is you can't, if you're resistant to the Ronaldo hype, you can't just flip it completely in the other direction and say, well, the hype is unjustified, or if you have Ronaldo, you're playing the game wrong. Right. So it's just let there be some gray areas here, but sure. Also accept the fact that Ronaldo is an elite, elite talent, and he will change the fantasy season.
This is something that I said, when it first became clear that he was going to join, my feeling was, I don't know. I mean, like, if you just get caught up in like the personal stuff and the like very credible allegations, and you're just like, I just can't have this guy on my team, then I get that. And I don't want to, there's a lot of places where you can get like very nuanced commentary about this. I'm not going to do that here. So I do get that. Like if that's a feeling, but if the feeling is just like, I don't buy the hype, I want to go without him, that's fine. For me, I don't want to spend the entire season battling him, like in my head, be like battling all the people who are going to bring him in, battling all, you know, I just think that there's a really good chance that he's going to be extremely consistent fantasy wise. I just don't want to, bother being mad about it. I don't want to fight it. Like that does not sound like a make fantasy fun again thing for me to spend the entire season finding an alternative to Ronaldo for you know, not that there aren't plenty available, but you know. And so I think my feeling is I don't know that I'll have Ronaldo this week or next week, but it seems inevitable to me that I will have him soon. But again, I totally agree that I don't think it's essential that you have him this week. The one thing I will say about Lukaku is he was going to get some sort of scan. Apparently he's been carrying some
thigh scan.
Some minor issue. It didn't sound like it was going to be that big of a deal, but it is something that you should just be keeping an eye on. This is actually a week where, outside of listening to this podcast, which is essential for everybody, I get that. Share it with your friends. It feels like a week where you should really wait until Thursday or Friday. Take a couple of points hits on the chin. You know, don't be rushed into a transfer if you're not wildcarding, because I just don't really know how it's all going to shake out. I mean, like, you know, so like, let's say that, you know, the way Emi Martinez was, like, you know, and Buendia, they were supposed to play in this match and then come back and only have to miss one match for quarantine. Did they still have to quarantine when the match wasn't played? I guess they do, because they traveled there. It's like a total disaster for them and for Villa. So, but we don't really kind of know how that's all going to shake. Or do they get some kind of special exemption, like that could still come? Like, who knows, right? Like, this stuff, it feels like they're just making up the rules as they go along across the board.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to say. I mean, I think that if Chelsea play Aston Villa and Lukaku is healthy and it's Jed Steer who's keeping goal for Villa, then I think there's a really good chance that Lukaku is in fact the best captain pick. One quick player that I'll throw out here for in the just because we're talking about captaincies right now. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'll go to a question here from the Dork Lord. He says, obviously, Lukaku, Ronaldo, and Kane are great captaincy options for this week. But who's the best option for those of us without a premium forward? Do you prefer Fernandes, Salah, Antonio, or even prefer a differential like Jota or Calvert-Lewin? I did not know until I was reading an article, one of these, like, I don't even know why I read it, because, like, I hate these articles about, like, Mo Salah wants more money. And it's like the agent just plants a story in ESPN or whatever, right? Yeah. It's like Mo Salah, you know, wants £500,000 a week, or he's going to leave, you know, in January or whatever. And it's just like these stories get written like every 4 days, you know. Yeah. It's part of the job of the agent to plant these, you know, nonsense stories. Yeah. So, but anyway, I read it, you know, like a sucker. And the one thing I didn't notice in there was that Mo Salah is on 99 goals in his Premier League career. His next goal will be his 100th goal of his career. That feels like something he's going to be pretty excited to cross off, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know. I feel like that could become like a little more of a narrative too over the course of this week. Is Salah at Leeds? Listen, I get that you can make an argument that Calvin Phillips is back and he is so good that he's going to just completely contain Liverpool and Mo Salah. I don't totally buy that argument, but
he hasn't helped. I think he started at least the last match for Leeds, and by all accounts, you know, he just didn't have his best game in the midfield for Leeds. It's going to take him a while to get back into form. And it seems like Leeds, full stop, just aren't in the same form that they are. This is a team that has played together basically as one starting 11 since the championship. Now they're trying to bed in a few new players. You've got Daniel James coming into the mix. I think that they're, while Leeds will be fine this season, and I think we'll all have Leeds players coming through our fantasy teams, I just think this is a great time for Mo to have a run at their defense, regardless of Calvin Phillips.
I think so too. He played for Egypt, I believe it was on Sunday. I can't remember if he plays another match. And so, again, it's hard for me to really pick any of my captain options until I see who's back and who has trained with their team, who's healthy. It's just like a lot of stuff still to come. So, I mean, I don't want to like totally punt on this, but I guess if I had to pick one player, I would pick Salah, and then I would go Fernandes second, and then I would go maybe Calvert-Lewin third. Again, another player who has a minor injury issue, right? And so it's
he's got a toe issue, you know, that's a make fantasy fun again scenario in which Everton play home. It's the last fixture. It's a Monday fixture. It's always kind of fun going at least just having a fantasy asset to work with going into the last day of the game week. So I like that. But yeah, if it's ever like sort of unclear, the most practical advice would be don't overthink it and just go with Mo Salah.
Go with what you know. Yeah, I agree. I think Salah it's just hard for me to imagine Salah coming out of that match with like 2 points. It just he is going to get attacking returns in that match. And so, I mean, you know, let's say again, maybe I don't know exactly who I want to pick for my captain yet, but let's say I do go with Mo Salah. And if I feel extremely confident that at least one attacking return is coming his way, does that dissuade me from taking a -4 for someone like Ronaldo? Like right now for me, like, you know, let's say Bruno doesn't come back until Thursday and plays, you know, 90 minutes for Portugal in midweek. It's going to be a little worrisome. And, you know, Man United play a Champions League match a couple days after that as well. So it makes me, you know, so it'd be very easy for me to just kind of wash my hands of the whole situation. I only have one free transfer this week, but just burn a -4, go Bruno to one of Ferran Torres or Diogo Jota, and then just go Ings to Ronaldo and just boom, I'm done. Like, that's it. You know, it's that easy. So in some ways that's just sort of sitting there as like a really easy option if I want to go that route.
But if you're talking about, okay, it's a great fixture, Manchester United home hosting Newcastle. But if Bruno is exhausted, if he's played a lot of minutes for Portugal, if he's late getting back to team training, I mean, Ole loves running Bruno into the ground. You know, he might still start, but what if he doesn't start? This is something that Mark Naz on the FPL Black Box pod were talking about. Like, who is going to then be responsible for getting the ball to Ronaldo? Ronaldo is not at the point in his career where he collects the ball at some point in the final third and fashions his own shot. No, people deliver the ball to him.
It's Fred, man. It's all Fred.
I mean, you know, Pogba is, of course, elite at passing behind defenses. And you, then you put yourself in a position where you're relying on, is it going to be good Paul Pogba or want away Paul Pogba? Or right. I wish I was playing Fortnite Paul Pogba in that match. So
I think you'll get Pogba in his best behavior if it's Ronaldo's first match. I still think there's at least a chance that he doesn't, that Ronaldo doesn't start this first match.
We saw with Messi, his first appearance for PSG was off the bench. And yep. You know, there's a certain ceremony to that, like bring the player off the bench. The crowd are just primed and ready for that. They probably had like an entire half to be chanting this player's name to get them onto the pitch. And then there's just a huge ovation and it's very ceremonial. So, but it's
not like it's the Manchester Derby, right? Like they could probably beat Newcastle with their. With the players that they have, without Ronaldo. So, I think you can get away with it. I still think I might get him though. So I feel like that sounds a little wishy-washy, but that's where I am right now. I really think I need three more days to sort out my premium player thoughts. And so let's get past the Ronaldo stuff. Okay. We got, we could just go on about like, cause it impacts everything else too, right? It impacts, you know, all your transfers and all your captain thoughts and all that stuff. So next question comes from FPL Prince. Okay. We're going to do a little sea change here, Brennan. You ready? Hold on to yourself on the starboard side there. FPL Prince says, can you rank the best mid-priced midfielders? And then he clarifies 5.5 to 8 million.
Yeah. Well, okay, and so we've got players to note here. You've got Mason Greenwood, Jack Grealish, Diogo Jota, Ferran Torres, Mason Mount. Saeed Benrahma has got to be on this list. And I think everyone is having this moment with West Ham where it's a kind of a conservative management style where there must be a game show where it's like Deal or No Deal, where you've got the money in hand. Is the money in hand worth more than the possibility of more money?
Yep.
So it's like, do you hold Antonio and Benrahma with the idea of getting more points for them, or do you dump them to bring in the likes of Ferran Torres or Diogo Jota because, you know, it's a miracle that we've got this many points from these West Ham attackers as it is. But I just think Benrahma is so cheap for a guy who is basically playing in a two almost with Mikel Antonio. So I think he has to be in this discussion. And I think I talked about this last week, is it's when you get into this mid-tier price bracket, it becomes a tricky conversation where at some point you find yourself having this conversation of, I think so-and-so is a better player. But it can still be true that another person is the better FPL asset just because of price. Yeah. And that's just a function of the fantasy game where sometimes you don't go with who you believe is the better footballer because the function of a price point in your fantasy team, which allows you to get another player in this part of your fantasy team, et cetera, it almost makes them by virtue a better footballer for your fantasy team. So I think that's where players like Benrahma come in. And I mean, if you're on wildcard right now, Josh, is it Benrahma or is it Rafinha? Because West Ham had their great run to start the season, and now Leeds are about to, after game week four, enter this insane run of really good fixtures.
I mean, this to me is why I kind of like the idea of a game week five wild card more than game week four, because a lot of the players that I have, I kind of want for one more match. You know, I've got three West Ham players. They play away to Southampton. If Benrahma doesn't quite deliver in that match, their run gets quite a bit worse after game four. So then I can kind of move on from him. Right? I've got Aaron Cresswell. I don't really want him long term either. That was always planned to be a short term pick. Worked out fine last week. I can move on from him. Luke Shaw, I don't want him long term either, but he's got Newcastle at home. Then I can move on. So it's like you sort of go all across the line. And, you know, Mason Greenwood, I want to see how he fits in with everybody too. Maybe I move on from him as well. Ivan Toney has a pretty good fixture in game week four. So it's sort of, it feels, again, this is a, you know, when you think about wildcarding, you have to look at, it's not just about who you can get, but you have to look at what you're giving up to do it. And yeah. I feel like
Ivan Toney is, I'll step on you there, but Ivan Toney is a funny one because he's got a pretty good fixture. And also we have so much anxiety building up around the international break and all these players who have traveled. Ivan Toney, I don't think he's traveled anywhere. Like he's just been chilling in West London. And he'll be fresh and he'll be ready. And the, you know, always the game week returning from an international break can be harder to predict because, you know, these clubs just are dealing with some unknown factors. Yep. And a club like Brentford, they've just, you know, been training per usual. They've had a week's rest and they'll be ready for game week four.
Except, Pinnock, who played for Jamaica. I was not expecting that.
The elite Jamaican squad with Mikel Antonio up front is just like Pinnock trying to find Antonio at the back post, basically.
Yeah.
The entire match, I'm sure.
Was it Pinnock, right? Now I feel like I have to like, okay, this is like, I hate to do this on the pod, Brian. I'm going to try to do this as fast as humanly possible. Okay?
Oh, do it. And while you're doing that, I was just actually Googling Ivan Toney just to clarify. did he actually report to some other far-flung nation that wasn't England? And nope, we've got that right. Ivan Toney was staying at home.
There's one thing I love about this podcast, Brian. It's how professional we are. Ethan Pinnock did play for Jamaica. All right. He lined up at center back for Jamaica. So I was correct on that front. I put in Pinnock Jamaica and there was literally like nothing came up. It's like the first time I ever Googled something, there were no search results. So I don't know. I don't know what I did wrong there.
Incredible. You should get like confetti from Google. You are the first person to search for that particular series of characters. You should get an award.
So, if I had to rank the, I'm just going to do it, Brett. I'm just going to throw up my ranking here. Okay. Right. And, anytime you rank something, right, the internet was built for rankings. I personally know that people, roll their eyes at rankings.
I feel like I'm podcasting with Bill Simmons right now.
But I actually kind of love them. Like when Vulture, there's this New York Magazine has this kind of spinoff called Vulture, and they'll rank like every Rolling Stone song ever, you know, committed to an album or whatever. It's like, you know, 373 songs ranked. I'll read every single one. I'll just go bottom to top. I love it. I'll do that. You know, the best Martin Scorsese movies. Yes. I want to read a little potted description of each one.
Yeah, the best sketches in I Think You Should Leave. Both seasons one and two. Rank them all. Exactly.
I'd love to kill 25 minutes that way. So anyway, if I were to rank these, and let's say I'm looking at them through a 4-week window. Okay. I don't like to look longer than 4 weeks ahead for any move ever, because I think, it's just, I mean, outside of like a goalkeeper, I guess, cause it's just pointless. Things just change too much. Players get injured too frequently. Fixtures change too rapidly. And at this price point, you're just not usually holding on to people too long. So I will go. Ooh, this is tough. Okay. I'm going to go Greenwood first. I'm still a believer in Mason Greenwood. I think that the arrival of Ronaldo is actually going to, help Greenwood. It's going to actually open up more opportunities for him. He's a brilliant finisher. We talked last week about, I still think his spot is very safe because you can just move him to so many different spots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you play Ronaldo as a forward, you can play him on the left or the right, most likely on the right, I would imagine. I don't think you can play him as a number 10, you know, but I don't know. He passes reasonably well. Maybe he could do it, Brandon. I have faith in Mason Greenwood's ability to be a number 10.
Yeah. I know. I like him on the right, certainly, because he does like to do that Iron Robin cut in and lash it with his left foot. And it's just what's going to be interesting is I think Greenwood, just in the way he strikes the ball, is reminiscent of Ronaldo, just like sheer ferocity and that like power. The technique is slightly more power than it is finesse. And it's like, okay, you've got Ronaldo on the left and Greenwood on the right. And I mean, if you're the goalkeeper, it's like Wear your Pampers, buddy.
Fire and ice, man. Yeah. So I think that's gonna be a great combination. I just really thought how impossible it is to actually rank all of these as they go here. I'm gonna go Jota second. Mostly because I think it does seem like he's kind of won that spot over Firmino. I know that Firmino did start that. Maybe Firmino still starts the hardest matches, but it seems pretty clear at this point that Firmino is a little more, he's kind of second place.
And it's over, Firmino. It's done, Bobby. It's so long.
It's sad. And then he got injured, came on the 41st minute of that match versus Chelsea. So, yeah, and they, I think they need him. I think they need his goals, honestly. So yeah. I'll put Jota second. I just kind of trust. I mean, he's a 7.5 million Liverpool forward, basically. He was classified as a midfielder. That really has to be taken seriously.
Yeah, you put that one down to what I was saying earlier about what is the value of that price point in your fantasy squad. And that just ratchets Diogo Jota's value up more and more and more and more. So, okay, so who's after Jota for you? Who's third most desirable?
After Jota, I am going to go with Rafinha. I know that seems like a slightly unusual pick, maybe, but their game week four match is not great. They play Liverpool at home. I think it's okay, but he didn't travel for Brazil. And after you get past that Liverpool match, they play Newcastle, West Ham, Watford, Southampton. Just incredible run of matches for a player who's only 6.5 million, who is super attacking, super threatening, has probably been a little unlucky. I don't know if you watched the highlights or watched any of the Leeds Burnley match, but
he's looked good. There was this really interesting article with him talking about in the Players Tribune, I think it was, talking about growing up in Brazil and playing on the streets of Brazil, and how it was basically pretty regular for him to get death threats, like these particular like neighborhood street ball leagues in which young kids are playing for talent scouts to try and get some sort of low-level professional contract. So for a lot of these young men, it is literally life and death. It's whether you can make money or you can't make money. And
sounds like the FPL podcast sphere, Brandon, you know, just
yeah, exactly. It's doggy dog out there. Yep. But I thought it was interesting in how that then correlates to his experience in England. And he's just like the fans in the stands, like it's all fun to him because you know, as much as racism and wanker signs are abundant in these stands, it just doesn't compete to the level of abuse and horror that he may have encountered in Brazil. And so that kind of helps him to be mentally dialed into all these games for Leeds that he plays in. I was just like, okay, this just makes him even more, it makes him cooler, and it makes him even more interesting as, oh, this guy could just like explode at any moment for Leeds.
He's so fun to watch. I'm just a huge fan. And so I think one of the reasons I like the idea of a game week five wildcard is I feel like I get one more week to assess. I mean, I know I just said this, but I'm going to repeat it very quickly, which is that I get one more week to assess Benrahma. And if it feels like he's maybe surplus to requirements fantasy wise, then I think that's a really easy move. Pretty much the same price point. I mean, if you got Benrahma at 6 million, he's already up to 6.4. So you can move him from to Rafinha for only 0.3 million. It's a pretty easy move for most managers to make. So for 3 and 4, I'm going to take them together, and it's Grealish.
This is 4 and 5, Josh, because you've already done Greenwood to Jota to Rafinha. Now we're at 4 and 5.
All right. I'm going to take Grealish and Torres together. I am going to.
This is a cop out. Come on.
Okay, fine. All right, Torres. I'm going to put Ferran Torres there. I know that Foden is coming back. I know that KDB is coming back, although that shouldn't really affect Torres too much. But it seems like he's going to get a chance. He's going to get a chance to be the starting forward for Man United. I think, I don't know. He started what, 3 consecutive matches for them now, or is it 2? Is it 2 out of 3? That does, you know, that is a little worrisome, to be honest. I mean, but this is just the problem. But on a wild card, I think it's fine because you just have to know going in that you are. Like, I don't think I would waste a regular transfer on. I think I would, like I was talking about how I might be able to bring in Ronaldo with on like a minus four. Yeah. I think I would still opt for Jota over Torres in a situation like that because I have no bench depth. And so for me, Jota just feels like the safer option.
Yeah.
If you're on a wild card and you can bring in a couple of 4.5 million defenders or if 4 million Brandon Williams or whatever to put on your bench, then I think it's okay to take a little more of a chance in Ferran Torres. And I just think that even with the rotation worries that are surely there, if he continues to deliver, then he's going to be starting like 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 5 or something like that. And that's just a little rotation risk is okay at that point because you're talking about, again, it's like Jota, a 7 million forward for Manchester City is an incredible rarity in fantasy. That is just not something we've ever really had before. So, I think that that just puts him a little above Grealish because I just think that even though Grealish might get more starts, I don't see him getting those kind of explosive returns.
Yeah, I completely agree. The case that one would make for Grealish is that he will get more minutes and he very well might, but the role that it looks like Grealish is going to be playing is going to be more of a facilitator. And we've talked about Grealish's relative lack of finishing ability compared to his teammates at Man City. I just like goals are going to be so important for whoever you slot into this position.
For any team.
Goals win games, Josh. When Ferran Torres does start, this is the argument that people make for Mahrez. Why we keep coming back to Mahrez despite him like burning us time and time again is when he does play, when he does get minutes, there are goals there. And Torres, he doesn't have the left foot of Mahrez, but when he does play, it looks like Pep's going to play him in the 9.
Yeah.
And that is just like, this is what we love in FPL is the out of position player who is out of position because they're playing farther forward than they're actually labeled in the game. So he's a midfielder getting midfield points, playing in a number 9 in real life where he's more likely to get those points and so on and so on and so on. So I just get me closer to the goal, especially like the goal that Man City love to score is the tap-in and who is going to be closest to that.
It's true. It's like Gundo. Gundo picked up so many on that, and that kind of, and even and granted, he wasn't really playing as a false nine, but he was just kind of in that tap in spot, right? He was just that far forward. By the way, Ferran Torres actually has started the first 3 matches. He came off a little. He only played 60 minutes in the second match. He started the first 3, which I think is really encouraging that he's been given a real run out. Right? He didn't get attacking returns in the first 2 matches, so it's a real sign of faith. I think that he got that start. I just think in general that a lot of fantasy managers are just way too worried about rotation. That it this is like the Mason Greenwood thing has been like all summer. I've been like Mason Greenwood said the entire summer with OGS. He loves them. He looked great in the spring. Bring in Mason Greenwood. He's at 3% ownership going into the season. What is going on here? And everyone was just like, I don't know where he fits in. I'm too worried about rotation. And it's just, this is a classic problem that people fall into because especially someone like Ferran Torres in Man City, like, if he doesn't start, he's probably still going to come on. And Man City pick up a ton of goals in the final 30 minutes of every match they play, right? That's just a common, police are coming to get me now because this take is too spicy.
It's a very spicy take, Josh.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the final two. I'll say Benrahma first. I think he has to give a lot of credit for how well he's played together with Antonio to start the season. And he's got one more match and the game week 3, I thought he was a little anonymous and that's why it just, that's why I guess he's not quite at the top of the list is we saw a little bit of this with him last season too, where he could kind of disappear a little bit. And Tony was clearly the focal point of that team. And you have other players now and I I'm not sure how much they did bring in, a transfer. They brought in the Vlasic brand and the heir to the Vlasic Pickle Dynasty, which he didn't play well at Everton, but he did play. He played better at his next club. So I don't know. Maybe he'll be maybe I don't think that really affects Benrahma too much. But
no, this is what you love to see as a Benrahma and Antonio owner is Moyes signing attacking players who can play in the doldrums of the Europa League.
Yep.
So, we'll get questions in a few weeks when the Europa League starts, like, oh, what does Europe rotation mean for my West Ham assets?
Right.
Now, Thursday night football is never, like, ever a good thing for FPL.
No, that's but true. That's a good point.
I think a player like Vlasic coming in at least relieves us of this this idea that maybe Antonio and Benrahma might have to play those minutes. So, no, Vlasic will be gutting it out there in Eastern Europe.
All right, so I'll put Benrahma next. We talked a lot about him already, so I need to talk about why I think he's a good player. But I'll end things with Mason Mount. Maybe a little unfair to put him at the bottom of this list, but he just doesn't score as many goals. And I think that the really good fixtures for Mount, although this Villa fixture looks increasingly appealing, but I think the really good fixtures for him start in game week 7. So if we were starting this ranking again at game week 7, I think he'd be near the top of the list. Yeah. As it is, he's got to go to the bottom just because I think through 4 through 6, I'd prefer the other option. So that's where we are. It feels like we should take a break on that note, Brandon, but let's do one more question. Okay.
Yeah.
It's from Thomas Jones. He says, how much of an influence should we consider the return of European football for transfers this week and in the future?
I guess this is something that we talk about in terms of managing from a position of fear as opposed to fear and negativity as opposed to optimism and positivity. That's been my stated goal, Josh, going into this season.
Yep.
And I think the benefit of Europe starting is,
you're fearless this year, Brandon. I love it.
I am fearless. There's no great benefit of Europe starting. It's just going to make things a little more difficult. But
yeah, bad for Chelsea, I'd say. If Tuchel just rotated the hell out of everybody in that team last year, in the spring. And I think we'll start to see it again. And it's a little worrisome. I think this was a little bit of a worry with Lukaku, although now maybe it's less so because he's gotten pulled away from Belgium. Initially I was a little worried because I was like, well, if he's going to play 3 matches for Belgium and then they've got this kind of, I don't want to say it's an easy match, but a match they should win fairly handily, right? Home to Villa without a couple of their key players. Maybe they rest him this weekend and it's kind of saving for the Champions League at midweek. But I think the fact that he's been back for a week, assuming that the thigh stuff is fine, he starts training on Tuesday or whatever. I just think that he should be a great option this weekend.
Definitely. And it's not like, I think it's Ken Early on the second captain's with this hilarious phrase talking about Klopp. I was last season or 2 seasons ago complaining about so many fixtures and he was scared of his Liverpool players suffering from, quote, exposure to football. Yeah. And just as you were saying a moment ago, Josh, like we're a little too concerned about rotation. Like Chelsea, sure, they want to do well in the Champions League because there's money at stake and there's glory at stake. They're Champions League title holders, but they also want to win the bloody Premier League.
Yeah.
So it's not like the Premier League becomes some sort of like John Stones paint trophy competition for Chelsea. Of course not.
The John Stones paint trophy. I like that.
Yeah. John Stones is not getting any minutes for Manchester City, so he decided to go and start his own little cup competition. He's an entrepreneur, if anything else, Josh. I think if you surely with a team like Chelsea, think about where you're likely to see the most rotation. And it's going to be in the wingbacks, the fullbacks, and that's Chelsea basically have one player or two elite players for every position in that squad. But where you're going to see a lot of that rotation is in the wings. So if you want a piece of Chelsea in the Premier League or Man City, I'm thinking of specifically, look at the positions least likely to be rotated, and that's the central defense. So that's where Rudiger and Ruben Diaz become terrific fantasy assets as you come into the European competition season. That's where players like Harry Kane and Lukaku and Ronaldo really earn their keep for their price tag, is they're consistent in points returning, they're consistent in their starts, and unfortunately that's why they're priced at that premium price tag. But I love that ability to rely on their minutes. Mason Mount is actually, going back to our midfield rankings, he's a midfielder that's he's kind of like the De Bruyne in terms of like keeping the attack humming for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like that great link between whatever Conte and Kovacic are doing. So I feel like he is actually a player, like maybe he can improve in the coming weeks in our rankings because of his consistency of minutes. But I think that's something I would focus on if I'm thinking about transfers and wild cards with European season is who are those premium players, whether it's in this usually the central defense or in the number 9, where they're just always going to play.
Yeah, I think this is actually something to think about with the Champions League, but also with the international break, which is if you're a wild card right now and you've got a bunch of like rando punt type players on your team, like Livramento and Brandon Williams and I don't know, like some 4.5 million midfielder, like you're going to need those players probably as soon as game week four. So just be ready for that, because we are certainly going to see some rotation. I think that trying to guess the rotation can really be a fool's errand and can actually get you in more trouble, right? The sort of like this is like the thing that like people just get so mad about, like about, you know, Tuchel and Pep and how much they rotate. And it's like you just have to like let go of that. Like just accept that they are going to do things that you don't expect and that you can't really game it. You can't logic your way to these moves, because they're just like things like, you know, I remember Klopp once talking about this, and he was like, well, I don't typically know who's going to play the next match after the one that's right in front of me, you know, because after every match, you kind of have to assess everybody is, you know, how they're feeling, how they responded to the match, how they played, you know? And so I think that you really do have to be, you know, you can sort of like, you can overthink this stuff a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
All right. On that note, Brandon, let's take a break and we'll get back. We're going to talk a little more about game week four in our next section. Brandon, I'm going to take a quick second to talk about Fantasy Football Hub. We mentioned them at the beginning of the pod. They are sponsoring £1,000 prize for us this year. If you want to join the Hub, and you really should, you can join for free. You can join as a paying member. You pick the option, Brandon. You go to fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always to do so. You do that on our website on the link that I just provided. I'll say it one more time, fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always. You get a 25% discount off the tier of your choice. So, hey, check it out for a month. See if it's worth it for you. You can access the greatest fantasy minds managing today. It is a who's who, Brandon, of fantastic fantasy managers with incredible track records. And just, I mean, so that's one thing. Like mm-hmm. having a good track record is one thing. But what they actually do, and I can think of a number of people. I mean, Will himself, who started the website, is fantastic. At, you know, he's an incredible track record. Was well inside the top 1,000 for most of last season, and just records great videos where he talks about his thought process and what he's thinking about doing this week. So, but you know, many others who've talked about on this podcast, Ben Crellin and many more. So you can get these videos. You can talk about strategy. It's very useful if you're on your wildcard right now. You can also access all of the data. And this mm-hmm. includes real OptiStats and these really easy to use player comparison tools, which I love. I love a player comparison tool. I don't even know what I'm doing half the time, but I just love to, I love just digging in and having some fun and trying to, you know, pretend that I know what I'm doing.
That's There's always satisfying. One stat though, Josh, that jumps out at you when you're waffling between this 5 million player and that 5 million player. Yeah. Pop them into a comparison tool, and there's one stat, like touches in the final third, that you know, I always look for, something like that, that is the difference maker.
I literally did that before game week three, and I compared Cresswell and Soufal, and I was like, well, I know that Cresswell is more expensive. Should I fall into the trap of opting for the more expensive player just because they're more expensive? You know, because mm-hmm. I knew it was going to be a kind of a short-term punt no matter what. And I was like, well, let me just compare the two and see how I feel about them. And Cresswell came out ahead in the comparison mm-hmm. tool. And so I was like, all right, let's go with Cresswell. And so that was a 4-point net gain, you're right? So it's like 4 points here, four points there. That can end up making a huge difference over the course of a season. So anyway, so you can find all that stuff on the Hub and the private WhatsApp groups. They have an app, all kinds of cool stuff. So go to fantasyfootballhub.co.uk/always to learn more and sign up.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing testing the EE system technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Game week four kicks off on Saturday. I'm so excited that once again, we've got, and by the way, I keep forgetting it's a holiday weekend here. So recording on Monday, we are very close to Saturday. It's just a few days away.
My wife was like, oh, it's the international break. Like, what are you and Josh going to talk about on the podcast? And I'm like, well, like you may believe it's a break, but fantasy is like just hours away in all intents and purposes. Like it's over before you know it. Like, it seems like such a bummer when you enter an international break, but just like in a moment, it suddenly becomes a panic stations for what are you going to do for the game week deadline?
The whole trick is to have a plan. This is, you know, Legoland became my international break activity. So game week four kicks off on Saturday morning. I have one last question here from the mailbag that I pulled over because it's a real relevant to my thinking a little bit for Game Week 4. It's from Ryan. He says, is DCL being overlooked amidst all the hype around Rom and Ron? Now, I'm not necessarily looking at Dominic Calvert-Lewin as a captain option for Game Week 4, but as a transfer option, I do feel like he's being a little overlooked right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I talked through these moves with you on our Patreon pod on Thursday night, Josh, where I have exact money to turn Ivan Toney, Danny Ings, and Bruno Fernandes into Greenwood, Lukaku, and DCL. And those moves felt really good to me. The only thing standing in my way is the -4 and thinking Ivan Toney, I can do Brighton at home for Brentford.
Yep.
I don't really need DCL. But I keep coming back to this idea because DCL looks so great. This fixture is really good for Everton.
It's a Monday. It's always a little kind of fun to have a player in the Monday
100%,
match.
100%. Yeah. And the toe injury just smacks of international break injury. And I mean, for those of you who are kind of new to FPL or the international break syndrome, there are always these injuries that pop up basically just to make these players' lives easier. Like, okay, I'm not going to report for international duty because maybe I've got a wedding to attend or something. All right, what are we going to tell the media?
Yeah, he knows he was only starting one of those matches max, right? Yeah. And they called up Bamford too. So it was like, do you want to travel to three different matches if you're going to be on the bench a lot of
particularly
the time?
When you've, to further tinfoil hat this stuff, it's like DCL has had a great start to the season. Yep. You know, he's just cucking Richarlison on the penalty spot for fun.
Yep.
Everton is his team right now. And I think that would be DCL's focus is to continue to win the love and affection of Rafa Benitez and the Everton fans, and that's his team, and that's basically his platform to get a transfer to a different club, and then he gets to take over for Harry Kane in the number 9 of the England squad.
It does feel like that's probably going to happen, right, at some point in the next couple of years. So, I like him a lot. He is, if I just go really easy and just decide, you know what, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna go one more week without Ronaldo. And again, a lot of this depends. I mean, for one thing, I need to see DCL on the pitch, right? Like training with Everton this week. I also want to see what's going on with Bruno. If Bruno doesn't play, then I really see no reason why I don't just bring in Ronaldo. I'm just going to do it because I might as well, I'm just going to get ahead of it. And the question then would be whether I captain him or not, because that gets into the other key factor here for game week four, which is, who do you captain this week? And now it feels like every option is a little tricky outside of maybe Mo Salah.
Yeah, there's no clear answer, right? Because every captaincy option has a flag attached. Ronaldo, will he start? Lukaku, is this thigh injury a situation? DCL, you know, we've theorized that the toe injury is not a thing, but hey, what do we know? What do we actually know?
Yeah, he's been carrying it for a while. We know that. So he scored 3 goals with it already. So, you know, it's...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
If I brought in Lukaku, I'm captaining him for sure. And I think that it feels like a good move on paper. It also feels like a fun move. Like part of the fun of bringing in these awesome premium assets is you get to throw the armband on them and get that level of excitement. Now, I feel like for me, bringing in Lukaku is an effort to spread more funds around the team. Like, as I outlined my moves, like, I feel like I'm not really giving up a ton in any of the positions in my team apart from missing Bruno. And that's more of a comfort blanket. If I think maybe I'm going to wild card in game weeks 5 or 6, I'd be more inclined to bring in Ronaldo and then sort out the Lukaku situation in a couple of weeks. But Lukaku feels like a better sort of long-term play. With this classic idea, Josh, that maybe if I bring in Lukaku and DCL, I may never have to wild card. I might have the perfect team. Now we know that's foolish logic.
Yeah. I mean, there's a temptation just to go Lukaku too. And maybe that is actually the more logical move. Maybe I should just sort of get over the Ronaldo hype for a week. It's just tricky. I mean, you know, Bruno does not get benched a lot. He does not spend a lot of time on the bench in general.
No, I always think of this West Ham match last season where Bruno started on the bench and Manchester United were listless and they went down a goal and it was horrible. And David Moyes was having a laugh.
Yep.
Bruno immediately comes on after halftime, changes the shape of the game, and Manchester United end up winning. And it just showed how, you know, pre-Ronaldo, maybe let's say, United just can't win without Bruno on the pitch, it seems.
He's so important in everything they do. And so they just, you know, just to explain what the latest is with Portugal, they play Azerbaijan in a World Cup qualifier. That match is tomorrow. So recording this on Monday afternoon. That match is at, I guess it's 12 p.m. our time. And so I'm not sure what time that is in Azerbaijan, but let's say it's they're playing at Baku Olympic Stadium, right? So that's okay.
What time is it in Baku?
Yeah, what time in Baku? Okay, so it is 11:46. So they are 8 hours ahead of us. So that match is on at 8 p.m. on a Tuesday. But still, you would assume that once that match is over, he's flying straight back to England from there, right? So that match will be done at 10. So by Wednesday, he should be at some point in that day on the pitch with the squad, one would imagine. And he was benched for the middle match this week. So let's see. Let's see where he is. If he plays Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week and trains all 3 days for Man United, I'm just going to keep Bruno for one more week and not have Ronaldo. I just don't think I need to have Ronaldo for that match. And if Bruno plays and trains all three of those days, I'm also going to captain him this weekend.
So then if I had to predict, you would move Danny Ings to DCL, and that would be your one free transfer for the game week.
Yeah, I mean, because I have three Man United players, so it's not like I could move. You know, let's say I just got so caught up in the Ronaldo thing that I just needed him badly. I couldn't even move Salah to free up money for Ronaldo because I have three Man United players. I actually have to drop one because I've got Greenwood.
Wow. Pray for the cheaters going into game week 4, neither of us having Ronaldo.
I'm genuinely one injury away from wildcarding, by the way. Okay. If Ings and if somebody gets injured in the second national friendly, then I have – my bench is terrible. So if I'm in a position where I'm burning 4 or burning 8 to put together a team, I'm just going to wild card. I mean, there's plenty of things I could fix right away. What I would like to wait, though, because for all the reasons I talked about before with Benrahma, we didn't talk about Wolves at all. I think Wolves are a key wild. You know, we talked about them a little bit in last week's pod, but a key wild card team. But I do want to see them play one more match. I want to see these guys score a goal before it's talk about Raul Jimenez and all of these other players and Traore and even their defense. I'm like, win a game, score a goal, and then I can, and maybe I'm just being too results oriented. Maybe winning matches and scoring goals is just something I'm valuing too highly. I don't know, but
you cannot minority report FPL where everyone believes they're looking at all the Tom Cruise swiping computer schematics and they're Wolves are about to commit a crime of scoring FPL points, so let's go arrest them right now.
Total hipster move to be the best team in the Premier League is Wolves right now. Come on. But I can see some of the excitement if Wolves, let me put it this way, Brandon. If I don't wildcard this week and Wolves beat Watford 11-0, I guarantee I'm going to have at least one Wolves player in my wildcard team. So how about that? That's some bold words.
That's really bold. That's a bold statement. Yep. And, you know, that's why you're a Maverick.
Champion pundit. That's why an award-winning podcast, Brennan, for takes like that. So as far as the matches themselves go, we don't need to really go through everything here. Again, there's just so many variables right now. I think just, again, if safety is what you value and surety of starts, I don't think surety is a word, but let's say it is. I think that a surety, I feel assured of this player starting. I think that Mo Salah would be your pick. I think he is the safest captain pick this week.
Now, you snuck Wolves in there, and then I think that there's one more team looking at game week four that we really have yet to touch on, and that's Spurs. Spurs, who are top of the Premier League, I think it is. And
yep.
They've got a great fixture, away Crystal Palace, a classic, like
Connor Gallagher's Crystal Palace.
Connor Gallagher. It's Connor Gallagher's team now. Zaha who? But Harry Kane has been bandied around as a possible captaincy option. And I obviously that if you have Harry Kane, like I just can't see, given the huge upside. And, you know, we talked at the start of the podcast of the danger or the just danger of buying into the hype, the justification of not playing into hype. However, I just don't see how you can justify going Kane, who has not really looked good since the season started. Now, it could be the classic Kane August blues, but why would you go Kane over Ronaldo or Lukaku? Now, you would do that to be different, which is not a bad thing, but I don't know. Kane and Reguilon, it's their season, Josh.
We probably have not talked enough about Spurs in general. I think you're right. And we kind of dismissed their defense in our game week three preview pod. And we're just sort of like, their XG was, they conceded zero goals, but it was on 4XG, right? Like they were clearly a little bit lucky not to concede in those first two matches. They, arguably a little bit better in the, although they had a goal line clearance. Didn't Dyer clear a ball off the goal line in like the first 6 minutes of their game week, the Watford match. So yeah, I'm still not totally sure what to think about them. I think it's fine. There's something to me about, like, I just don't want to captain a player in the first match of the day after the international break. That just feels like that feels very unfun to me. But I don't know.
So difficult to predict. And then Spurs' new central defender was all Romeo. Romero. He was Romeo on the pitch during the whole Argentina Brazil kerfuffle. So it's like.
Right.
That so Spurs, playing, it's the Spurs defense is going to line up again with Davison Sanchez and Eric Dyer and Wildman Lloris back there. So I don't know. I expect more of the same XG stats against Spurs, even though it's Palace. Palace are home. We started this season talking about, wow, is the home pitch advantage back and a thing? And I think the results are suggesting it is. So I think that makes Spurs, that's another point against Spurs going into game week four, is Selhurst Park, just like a notoriously hard place to go play because the fans are involved, I guess you could say. You've got that bird flying around too, that eagle.
Ridiculous. peck somebody's eye out. All right, so that... Okay, so, very interesting game. There's a lot of fun matches. I think that Leeds-Liverpool match should be really fun. I think Leicester-Man City on Saturday should be fun, too, if we're just talking about matches that I just want to watch from an entertainment standpoint. I think a lot of the captain talk is going to have to wait until our late in the week Patreon pod. So I'm going to transition now, Brandon, out of this week's pod. Thank you for listening. If you want a lot of wildcard talk, the last podcast was basically dedicated to wildcarding. So go back, listen to
our decision to not wildcard.
In that case, which is still true. It's not like that was, but in our case it wasn't. But we certainly talk about wildcard options and players to consider if you are wildcarding. So that we recorded that after game week three. So it's in the same international break window. We had Patreon pod last week, and we're going to record another one on Thursday evening that will be, Brandon, I don't hesitate to say, maybe the most important Patreon pod that we record all year.
Combustible. I think that MP3 file will be flammable.
Handle that with those with those tongs, you know, like
exactly like a big petroleum rod.
Yeah, do we bookend this pod with Simpsons references? I think that we did, Brennan. That's
that's a Homeric return. Homer. There you go.
I thought that was the pod. Yeah. All right. So thank you for listening. If you want to support the pod, go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. We'll do a bonus podcast this week, and you can talk wild cards or transfers or captains and anything else on our Slack all week long. Brandon, do you want to do a quick thank you to our Patreon supporters? Our producers, I should say.
Yes. Big thanks to our producers who make it all possible. Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Andy Penn, Martin Savage, Brian T, the Big Gafford, Bobas Kuhn, Jeff Husby, Ben Grant, James Holland, Dave Wagner, Lodahl, Nick Wright, Jim Payne, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Travis West, Victor Forbrick Skoging, Paul Herzig, Andy Portlock, Toothless Gibbon, Lindsay Rostel, Anton Markov, at FPL Merch, Carrie Swanson, Kieran Screeton, Francis Mann, Chris Carter, Blue Nose Stew, Mikey Uong, Bruce Kerr, Sam Schauer, Rich Evans, Future Media Group FPL, Ben Sweeney, George Kinney, Shiv Morjaria, Ron Frosk, AJ, Fly You Fools, Jeremy Spiker, Lazaros Yanois, Jesse Halstead, Matthew Becker, Kalev Robbie, Todd Byerly, Alper Paxoy, Martin Ospith, Lee Hickman, Valger Paulson Kruger, Jazz Binning, Francis Moore, and managed by Lasso. Josh, are you caught up on this season of Ted Lasso?
I am one episode behind right now.
I think I'm two episodes behind right now. That'll be a good Monday night activity for me.
Yeah.
And if Patreon's not your thing, you can always help the podcast by giving us a rating on Apple Podcasts. But just generally subscribe, rate, and review wherever it is you get podcasts. Follow us on social media. We're most active on Twitter at Hail Cheaters. Josh, you've been posting more to our Instagram at Hail Cheaters.
Yeah. You should do the same.
I should. Listen, I got to go out there in the streets. Now that I'm back in New York City, I could go out there and find content right on my doorstep.
Put your street team on it. You know, they can take care of it for you.
Exactly. There you go. All this information is at our website, alwayscheating.com, along with that online shop with their fantastic t-shirts that you mentioned right at the top of the pod, Josh.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Good luck if you're on a wild card. We'll be back on Thursday with a podcast for Patreon supporters. And have a great week, everybody. Bye.
Poku forever.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.